The first reading is from the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring fountains of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom of God, wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
A reading of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revel you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. When I was little, I thought about this scripture about the Beatitudes, and the only way that I could remember that what the preface was Beatitudes. So it had to do with our attitudes in some fashion. In Matthew, in general, we learn about Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus' birth, baptism, temptation, commission. And last week, we learned about Jesus choosing disciples to follow him. Matthew also provides us with the teaching discourses of Jesus in the Beatitude. In the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount is the missionary instruction, parables concerning the kingdom of heaven, church guidelines, and then predictions. Right? But the Beatitudes are the start of the Sermon on the Mount. I think of the Beatitudes as similar to a job orientation, or when you sit down in a committee and you have expectations that you go over, right? And I imagine that Jesus is sitting, gathers up the disciples as the crowds are forming, gathers the disciples, sits in front of the disciples or around, and he begins teaching what the expectations are to follow him. In a committee, we kind of all agree on the same set of norms or the same set of expectations. We're not going to talk while somebody else is talking. We're going to listen. We're going to be able to come to a consensus. We're going to have confidentiality. Those things are important. Jesus's teachings in this respect are basically telling the disciples what the expectations are if they're going to follow him. They are a statement of truths that Jesus shares. When I think about the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first thing I wanted to look at was this kingdom of heaven. It's very different from what I normally hear, kingdom of God. So I wanted to do a little bit of investigation on what that means. And I learned that the kingdom of heaven is written in Matthew over 50 times. And at that time in the Jewish faith, saying the name Yahweh or God was looked upon as something that you just don't do, so you replace it. So they replace this word God with heaven in order to. So in my mind, while I was reading this, after I learned that, I was like, okay, I'm just going to replace every time I see this heaven, I'm just going to replace it with God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Humbled be, and this means to humble yourself before God, which is different than the teaching that I learned when I was growing up. I learned that there were a set of the Beatitudes, the first four, that were almost like a receiver. And then I also learned that the last four were like of the giver. And I kind of disagree with that. I really think that Jesus meant these to all be together. And that anybody who follows him is subject to living this way of life. And so when I think about who the poor in spirit are, I think about the times in my own life when I've had a valley. And when I say a valley, that means that my spiritual self is at a low. And then when I'm on the mountain, then I'm feeling pretty good and joyous about my spirituality and my relationship with God. But when I think about the poor in spirit, there are times in our lives where we're on this low. And that is the time to humble yourself, talk to God, trust God, pray, and continue to pray. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I think about this one as this beatitude, as we all have loss. In fact, that is one of the things that unites every human, is in loss. There's so many things that change that promote this sorrowful feeling. But the promise here is that sorrow will be comforted. And that's what Jesus says, that in our loss, in our sorrow, in those sorrowful experiences, we are taught to be kind and to show compassion for others because we have experienced some of those things too. And in that, there is comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, being humble and obedient, knowing that we are powerless where God is concerned. This next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. I learned when I was growing up, I learned this was a lot about judgment, but I got to tell you, I was reading the scripture the other day, and I thought to myself, I don't know that this is about judgment or being righteous in the way of judging others. To me, it's more about the doing the very best that you can. If you know better, do better. And wanting what's right for others, standing up for others in a righteous way. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. When I was little, I went to the corner store many times. And we didn't have a whole lot of money. I have been shown mercy many times in my life. And my sisters and I would go past the railroad tracks to the corner store. And I think at that time it was called the Santa Fe Market. And I had to check in with my sister to make sure that was right. But the owner of the store knew our predicament, because we always brought in the cans and the glass bottles, exchanged them, turned them in, and we were given milk, right? But as a child, do you know, and I don't even know if you guys know, those little machines where you turn, you put like a, well, this time is probably a penny or a nickel, and you put it in, you turn it, and you get the toy out. Well, we didn't have money or extra money for that. So one day the owner of the store, he gathered my sisters and I up, and the machine was empty. But there were these really cool toys that were on the inside. They were just for show, right? So he opens up the top and he pulls out the display that's inside there. And in the display were the toys that were real. He passed them out to my sisters and I. Being merciful, knowing somebody's condition, knowing somebody is in need or want or just something to be joyful about, walking alongside somebody. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. This next one, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Jesus was not hiding anything from the disciples. Jesus said, you will be persecuted for following me. You will be speaking what God has called you to speak. And people are going to push back on that. But know that the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you falsely. Bring against you all kinds of evil, right? But here's the thing that Jesus promised the disciples through all of this orientation, and I call it orientation, right? I can only imagine what they were thinking at that time. But Jesus promises that in all of this, in the highs and lows, in the valleys, in the mercy and righteousness, that they can rejoice and be glad because the reward is in heaven. And remember, I changed that. The reward is in God. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the reward is in God. So today, I want to encourage you to pray for each other. Pray for yourself. Don't wait. Have a relationship with God. When you know better, do better. And walk with a pure heart, a full heart, and be joyous. All of this, we can boast in the Lord. We can boast in God. Amen.